don't do what everybody's doing. Do the things that you enjoy. So if you're going to TikTok, and you're big into sports, pick a sport, talk about that. Talk about that till your face turns blue. I love basketball, so I would talk about that. If you love soccer, do that. Stick to an audience. And, you know, if you could be funny, you know, I'm not funny like that, but if you could do that, definitely use it on TikTok. But just educating people will always work.
Welcome to the Passion Behind the Art Show. It's all about diving in with individuals to learn the story behind their passion. It's your host, Daryl Pink.
What's up? Thank you for stopping by. You're in for a treat. Remember to check out my newest project, flyteddy.com. Flyteddy.com. Now, time for this week's episode.
I am beyond excited to have my homie, my fellow Caribbean brother, Anderson Blue on the Passion Behind the Art Show. Anderson, welcome, bro.
What's going on, man? Long time no see. Happy to be back.
I know, man. You over here just doing all types of stuff, doing adulting stuff and just doing your thing, bro.
Trying my best, man. Trying my best, you know. It's been such a crazy... It feels like it's been 5 years. I know it's kind of, you know, starting to hit two, but, you know, trying to squeeze in as many good moments as I can, you know, because I feel like one thing that we all learned is we don't know what's happening next. So just try to get it in.
Facts. That is so true. All right. So what have you been up to? What have you been up to? What's the new thing that you've been doing? Just kind of give us a little quick shot.
Yeah, man. Like everybody else, this year was the feel-out year. When I say that, meaning like trying to figure out where everybody's at, what's going on. When the pandemic happened, the first thing I said is, you're just going to have to hold on and make it out to the end, you know? And I feel like right now I'm starting to see that little bit of daylight, starting to see that things are starting to get back to some type of normal. But for me, this year was just... getting back on the road, trying out a few events, seeing where people are at. I actually finally took care of some life stuff I was supposed to take care of. Finally got married, very happy about that. Had to put that off due to last year. So very happy that we were able to do that. Did a little bit of a honeymoon, went to Greece, which is amazing.
Bro, I was so jealous.
By the way, man, let me tell you right now, I didn't realize how packed Greece is, but when we went, they were saying it was just like a ghost town, not a lot of people there due to the pandemic. It was pretty much a blessing in disguise because we were able to do everything. There's not a lot of people there. Got to sit by the water and stuff like that. So, yeah, if you can go to Greece, man, definitely go. Nice. The food is everything's beautiful. It's like I'm convinced that if you're not beautiful, like they kick you off the island. You know what I mean? But everything, just taking care of other life stuff and that's it, man. Just trying to get back on the horse like everybody else and figure out what's the next move for Anderson Blue Art, man.
All right. So I know you went to a couple of shows. Talk a little bit about the shows you went to and, you know, the experience.
Yeah, of course. So I went to California, Chicago, and I went to Denver. Each show was totally different. And it was really based on how the pandemic hit that city. So California was, let's put it this way. All the talk of like the homelessness and stuff like that, it really doesn't hit you till you see it in person. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've been to New York City. I've seen some wild stuff, but in California, it's like on another. So when I went out there, they were just starting to open back up. And that was like over the summer. And Denver is the total opposite. Nobody's wearing masks. Everybody's hanging out, chilling. Everybody's vaccinated, though. So, and to me, it's just crazy because it's crazy how we're all in the United States and everything is either one way or the other, you know? Bro. But as far as the shows, there were good shows. People came out. It was good to see people I haven't seen in a while. But tapping into the TikTok community. So, you know, I'm seeing a lot of my Instagram to start turn to TikTok and start to hit a younger audience and stuff like that. So, but so far the shows haven't been bad, man. I can't complain.
That's awesome. Tell me a little bit about this TikTok journey that you got going on. Cause right now, bro, you've just been like killing it on TikTok. Like I'm there, but I ain't there. If you know what I mean.
I'm fully committed. I'm fully committed. Yeah, man. So I know when it comes to TikTok, it's very hot and cold with some people because, you know, last year they heard they were going to ban it or going to keep it. But for me, I jumped on TikTok because I don't know if other people heard this person, but I follow Gary Vee. My business plan is whatever Gary Vee does, I'm going to try to do it to the best of my ability. Do you know who Gary Vee is?
Facts, bro. Of course.
You know who he is?
Yes.
Okay.
He's a Jets fan. Of course I know who he is, man.
Oh, yeah, true. So Gary Vee is like a social media personality, mm-hmm. but he's like a real deal business guy. And what he does is he leverages all his business moves by using social media, using free exposure to try to get his name out or his brand name out or try to sell things. And he also loops back and tries to tell people like, hey, you should do these things too. So Gary Vee was the reason why like I started to take Instagram serious. For me, my biggest hang up with Instagram was I felt like people, it wasn't about the talent. It was just more about who was being seen, who was being talked about.
Thanks.
So for the first half of me doing Instagram, I didn't take it seriously because I was frustrated with it rather than looking at it from a business standpoint. So when TikTok came around and before TikTok it was Musical.ly, he talked about, he's like, hey, the social medias that you should focus on because the algorithm is not going to stop you from, it's not going to slow you down from posting. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's a terrible way for me to phrase it, but pretty much if you post, people would see it.
Right.
So, I was like, you know what? LinkedIn makes sense, but I'm gonna go with TikTok because, you know I have a younger audience. So when I went to Japan, I did a quick video and the joke was like, there's a line of people, right? Like any line you would see, like waiting for like an iPhone, and I was in the line. So in Japan, everybody's a lot shorter compared to me. I'm 6'3", right?
I mean, everybody's so like, shorter compared to you, period, bro.
Exactly. Especially in Japan. So I was just like, yo, it'd be really funny if we do a video, we have a pan and says that, like, it's what it looks like to be 6'3" in Japan, right? Obviously, I'm a black dude in Japan, right? So that's like the standout factor. But, you know, I tried to mix it up. That video in 4 hours did like 1 million views. Sick. And I was like, oh, this is real.
Sick.
And ever since then, I've been taking it serious. I've been trying to figure out how to like implement art into there. Right now, I found a nice little, a nice little groove of making art tutorial, teaching people how to create art. It's stuff that I've always wanted to do, but YouTube is difficult because it's so long, right? Mm-hmm. I can edit video, but I can't edit video and do it efficiently for 4 minutes. That's a lot of time. So when I saw TikTok, I was like, you know what? This could be my training ground to maybe work up to YouTube, get comfortable with doing 15, 60-second videos, showing people how to become an artist, how teaching my art tricks and what they can do. And it just blew up. It just blew up. I didn't see it coming. I was just doing it just so I could sell a few more art prints. And now it's became its own thing.
That's awesome, man. So what somebody is trying to get into TikTok, what's some tips you give them?
Figure out your audience. Don't go too broad. Even if you're in art, what I tell people, I beg people, you know, don't do what everybody's doing. Do the things that you enjoy. So if you're going to TikTok, and you're big into sports, pick a sport, talk about that. Talk about that till your face turns blue. I love basketball, so I would talk about that. If you love soccer, do that. Stick to an audience. And, you know, if you could be funny, you know, I'm not funny like that, but if you could do that, definitely use it on TikTok. But just educating people will always work. Even if, you know, you feel like you're not really a personality, but teaching them like, hey, this is what you could do to be a better soccer player. Here's some of the biggest soccer players you could look at. Here's some of the, I don't know, the games to watch or whatever. It just does really, really well. So I think just approaching it from an educational standpoint, you know, it will definitely take your TikTok game to the next level.
Right. And to kind of elaborate on what you was talking about, TikTok right now is like how Instagram was when it first started. Once you post, people will see it. It's not solely on engagement, where like Instagram right now is solely on if someone is engaging with you. That's basically the only time they will see it now.
Right. I think TikTok gives you a fair shake.
Right.
Like if you make good content, right, you have a chance of it going viral, right? But Instagram, you could show aliens coming to Earth. If you're not a big name, nobody's seeing it. The end.
It's like crazy. The five people that engage with you probably see it. Outside of that, nobody else.
Exactly. So for like Facebook, they want you to pay for everything.
Right.
So if you don't have the budget, you know, I just tell people don't stress themselves. Honestly, in my opinion, I think Instagram is going to turn into Facebook very, very soon. I think TikTok is a real company and they're going to take over.
Yeah. Period. I think the only thing on Instagram that's worth putting time into where you could get like organic engagement is Reels. Outside of Reels, there's nothing else.
Yep. Yeah, I think so too. I think the biggest issue with Reels is it's missing its culture. Mm-hmm. Like with TikTok, it has a culture. Facts. That makes sense. YouTube has a culture.
Mm-hmm.
And Instagram has chased the money for so long, we don't even know what it is anymore. It's nice. Just a thing we all use.
It's kind of like Facebook. Know? It's just like a bunch of different stuff just crammed into
it. Right. So that's what I think. I think Snapchat, all those other things, like they have their own identity. And I just think Instagram has just lost it.
So what you think about, I know you probably saw the news about Facebook about to change their name. What you think about that?
I thought that was a joke. I'm going to be honest with you. Because I saw one headline. I was like, they're not going to change it to, what is it, Metaverse?
Some kind of Metaverse.
I mean, from the business side, I get it. Because Facebook, you know, its brand is pretty much tarnished in the U.S. So maybe if they change the name, it might be better. But I don't know. I'm curious, you know. I feel like they shouldn't change it because you already have an older demographic that enjoys the content, right? I don't know why, but they enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, changing the name to Metaverse is not going to bring the young kids to Facebook. It's not going to happen.
Nah, I think you should just capitalize on what you've got. I mean, there's a large amount of, like, even some people in our age group that's, like, they're good with Facebook. The people not really trendy, not really into the tech world. And it works because I know a couple companies that I deal with, they got, like, 20,000 followers on Facebook and their engagement is, like, through the roof.
Really? Is it like a Facebook like closed group or is it like a Facebook fan page?
It's a fan page. It's a fan page.
Really?
But it's been around for a while. So they've kind of built up they've built up a core group of people and the engagement is just through.
And it's organic?
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, yeah. They don't do no ads.
Oh, wow.
Only like I think the first ad they did recently was they're about to come out with a book. Outside of that, it's nothing. They don't really do no ads. It's all organic. But they're like pumping out content like it's nobody's business though.
That's the game. And don't get me wrong, the ads do work. I've used a Facebook ad and it makes a huge difference.
Facts.
It's just, you know, when you first come in, if you know somebody was to ask me like what could I use and spend no money, Facebook isn't it.
You literally need ads to be seen.
Yeah. But if you could pay for it, I don't know what's going on with this whole iPhone. You know, so pretty much the iPhone, if you have the new update, it's stopping social media from tracking your information.
Mm-hmm.
So I've heard there was like a dip in them targeting. Mm-hmm. But before that, you know, paying for ads definitely made a difference.
All right, facts. All right, so let's jump right into NFTs, bro. I seen you talking about NFTs, you're doing your thing. How did you get into NFTs? Is this one of the other things that you saw Gary doing? Like, how did that start?
It's funny because it's a mixture of things, right? So, like, anytime, Gary V does something, I'll put, like, I make a note, like,
a bookmark.
I'm going to keep my eye on this and see, exactly, put a bookmark in my head. So, when did it hit me? I would say January, 2021. Started come on my radar. And like everybody else, you saw a whole bunch of artists making money. It's like, it's alarming because you don't see headlines like that, right?
Facts.
I haven't seen headlines like that in a very long time. So you kind of want to figure out what's going on. but for me was I've been really educating myself on the crypto world, mm-hmm. just trying to invest in coins and stuff like that, trying to figure out how it works and why is this thing becoming so big. And that was my intro into NFTs and stuff like that. Yeah, that's pretty much how I started. What about you? How did you first hear about NFTs?
So I heard about it a while back, probably like before the pandemic. The pandemic. But like, it was just like passing shots, bro. I was like, man, this is just too deep for me. I'm not even gonna fool with that. But this year, I think for me, this year, I know a lot of people, it really pumped up in 2020. But I was just in a different headspace. I wasn't even looking at NFTs in 2020.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we all were. I couldn't, as much as I say, like, damn, I wish I would have known, there's no way.
No.
There's no way I would have heard, you know, spend this on a JPEG, mm-hmm. especially when everybody's like, what's going to happen next, you know?
Yeah.
So but I definitely get that.
I feel like that's when it really caught traction. And then this year, I really started hearing about it like intensely. I'm in a few different text groups and a couple of guys had it. They were like, they started trying to get like foundation invites and stuff like that. And I was like, yep. Okay. But I didn't really pay attention until like probably like two or three months ago. I just kind of put my head down. Okay. I kind of put my head down and just was like, shut everything else off. Like I shut all freelance projects, everything off, and just was just like learning as much as I can.
So I'm happy you said that, because as I'm going through it, and I've said this to my wife, and I said that, like, I feel like in order to do this correctly, you almost have to throw everything out the window and solely focus on this, you know? So for the people that are listening that are pretty much trying to figure out what NFTs are, more or less, it's being able to buy, it could actually, NFT could be anything, but you know, I'm talking about from the art standpoint, but you could buy a digital asset, right? And almost trade it like stocks, like on the stock market. And what some artists are doing, they'll create one that you can collect, like a one of one, or you could do like, you know, one out of 10. And what people are doing is they're buying this because they believe in the artist, or they think that stock is going to grow in the future, and they're pretty much reselling it. My biggest confusion about it was the whole, it's digital, I can just take a screenshot of it. Did that throw you off also, or?
Yeah, but I feel like at some point, that's happened with everything. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, at some point, someone will make like a fake Anders of Blue joint. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
You know,
right.
Like, at some point, someone will try to steal. But I feel like as time goes along, different companies, different platforms, they're going to use the blockchain as a way to authenticate if that's really real or not. So I kind of figured, like, after a while, it's going to, that whole scare is going to disappear. You know what I mean?
Right. I think the authentication thing is the thing that has my attention the most. And for people who don't know what you could do with NFTs, so I could take one of my pieces and put it on the blockchain. And when I say the blockchain, it means like a database. That's all it really is that saves it. And it's only a certain coins that you could do this with. Bitcoin, you cannot do this with. You could do this with Ethereum. So Ethereum has a blockchain where I could put my artwork on. And then what's cool about it is if I want to, so right now I'm selling a new art piece, right? Called the Mummy Sneaker Art Print. So if I want to create 50 NFTs of that, it's almost like authentications I can give to people, right?
Facts.
So that now they have an authentication saying I have the real Anders of Blue piece. And now if somebody says, hey, I missed it, they could resell it to that person and actually show them that I got this from Anders of Blue. So I think that part is definitely going to stay around. I think that's a great idea. I just think because it's so new, everybody, I think it's amazing that people are making their own, like they come up with their own ideas and just come up with their own concepts. But I think what makes it tough is you could do anything. You know what I mean? It's where you could do anything.
Yeah. Like literally, you could do anything. You can literally do anything.
Right. Exactly.
Well, I think just like anything else, it's especially coming from the creator's aspect. Now it's your responsibility to build value in what you're creating. If you don't know how to do that, you'll fall by the wayside. If you don't know, because after a while, like, I would have to build a value in my thing. You know what I mean? Except, especially outside of like a large following. Because you got, especially a lot of people are starting that don't have a large following. How are you going to build value in that? You know what I mean? So it's all, just.
Unless you have the company holding your hand, you're starting from ground zero.
Right. So
you could have millions of followers starting from ground zero when it comes to the NFT space.
Yeah, because it's like literally nobody knows about it.
Right. Right.
The people that know about it it's such a small amount that it's right. And that's the thing that at times you got to be aware of, that you got to get into the community, because right now that's your buyers.
So I know. So you were talking about how you're getting into NFTs. I see that you have an NFT project coming out that I can't wait to see. So do you have a game plan on how you want to approach this?
Yeah, for sure. I'm going to take like... So there's different aspects. Of course, you got good art for sure. But at the end of the day, my thing is like, I'm trying to connect it with like real world experiences. So it's kind of like an adventure. So I'm going to be doing different things connected to the outside of you just getting the NFT. You're going to get a physical print, but then I want to set up like scavenger hunts. I want to set up like, you know what I mean? But that's long game aspect. But at the end of the day, that's my goal. I'm trying to build like an adventure. You know, I love to travel, bro. I'm always trying to travel. So I'm trying to build some kind of adventure type feel around the art. Cause I feel like for me, that's what it translates to. My NFT is like a ticket into something. You know what I mean? Versus like not just the art, but it's like a ticket also into something.
What's the name of the project?
It's Fly Teddy.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's dope.
Yeah.
And like I said, it's every time I talk to people about this, I'm always blown away on how like their approach on how they want to do their project. You know what I mean? I think I heard one project where a person had a design that looked like, let's say it was like fruit or whatever, right? And over time the fruit would like decompose. In like real time, you know?
Yeah, it's crazy. So
it's interesting how people are approaching the space. Are you doing it just you by yourself, or do you have a programmer, or?
Honestly, it's mostly me. Mm-hmm. My brother is kind of involved, but he's like silent. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but he's involved for sure. But it's mostly me, bro. It's me and like brainstorming with my kids, man.
Right, it's not
even no joke like that. Cause I feel like they have an imagination that at times, like I can't tap
at my age.
You know what I mean? Your surroundings, you're trying to be a dad, you're trying to be a husband, all that stuff.
That's a lot
like you lose some of that imagination. And I feel like they still got that imagination to that. I could be like, yo, that's pretty dope, but make it sensible for adults or whoever wants it.
Right. Okay. So, are you planning to do one of ones? Are you planning to do like the 10,000 project or something in between?
Well, it won't be 10,000. It's going to be a little bit over 2,000.
Okay.
So why I did like the Fly Teddies, that was a project that I did a long time ago and it went dormant. And this kind of made sense to relaunch it in that aspect. Because otherwise it was just something that I created and I just couldn't see how to launch it again. So, but it's going to be a little bit over 2,000 because I want, you know, not like any big community, but I want like a group of people where I could kind of go on this journey. With.
Yeah. No, that's dope. I think 2,000 is good. I'm hoping this 10,000 character project phase kind of phases out. You see some new things. I just feel like, whatever works, I'm just seeing a lot of people trying their best to do that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think, and I hope you can speak to this because I've been listening to different Twitter spaces, but I feel like there's a gap between the person that's trying to resell and the person that's the artist, right? And I feel like the artist is coming at it it's coming out with a purist standpoint, which I love, you know, because we're artists.
Right.
But then when I jump into the spaces where people are trying to buy these things, all I'm hearing is, yeah, I want to buy it and flip it and change my life. You know what I mean? So I'm just wondering how those connect.
So for me, the business side of me is thinking as a collector.
Okay, good.
In a sense, like, how can I make this value my, like, the art? I love the art, but how can I make sure that when this person purchases, it grows in value for them?
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? So I'm always thinking, like, how can I make sure it grows in value for the next person? I feel like not all the time artists think right. like that. Right. Because, like, the person who's buying it, like, I got people for sure that's going to buy it. That's just because it's me that's doing it. But I also want, like, if it's not months, years down the mm-hmm. line, that thing grows in value for that person. Mm-hmm. To where they feel like, okay, yo, I could sell this and make some money from it. I'm always thinking, like,
right.
with the user in mind,
right.
like how they could flip it. Mm-hmm. Because I know that's a thing. Like, that's why I would buy yep. NFT. That's why I bought NFTs. Because at some point, I want to be able to, like, sell it and generate some revenue. Yep. Or down the line, my kids could sell
yep.
it. You know what I mean?
And what I like about NFTs is, just a lot of the stuff that they talked about when they used to work with artists, like way back when, you know, you would sell something, be able to get a commission on it or get paid on the back end whenever mm-hmm. it resells and stuff like that. And obviously as time goes on, most companies just don't want to do that. And I get that, but it's right. good to see that with the NFTs that it's already built into the contract, you know, it's also going to make just doing contracts right. and switching hands of design just a lot easier. And you're probably just like me. Like for me, like the thing that got my attention is when I heard people were literally making millions from selling their artwork, which is like unheard of. Have you been following, do you follow Mondo posters by any chance? Mondo Tees?
I think so.
So Mondo Tees is a company, and what they do is they hire artists to create limited edition posters or t-shirts for movies mm-hmm. and stuff like that, right? So what they did was they got one of their artists, they did a whole NFT project, sold out in a month, 10,000 gone. And when he was breaking it down, the dude's name is Mitch, and when he was talking about it, he was saying that he was talking about how he's able to onboard his customers, how he knew that he had to make the price like $100 because there's no way somebody wants to spend, you know, $1,000 on an NFT or anything like that. But when I was listening to how they were approaching it, and especially for him to be in the space, for me, it told me like, oh no, this is real, because this company's been doing artwork for so long and they've worked with some of the best. But to see how they're thinking about it, how they're saying like, all right, we sold these, we want to continue to create and give it away for free to kind of keep people engaged mm-hmm. in the community, they're building their Discord and stuff like that. You know, it's, I just see this as an like a new branch that's being created in like the mm-hmm. art world. You know what I mean? I don't think it's going to take over. But if you're an artist, I feel like you need to take a step back and figure out how you want to do this. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's an option. Like, don't overthink it. It's just like anything else. Like, we've tried to use our art in so many different mm-hmm. ways, from physical products to apparel to print to stock. So this is just another option. And I feel like that's the only way you can make it make sense mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. you know what I mean? So what's your thought on like the different blockchains that you can build the NFT?
I think I'm torn. So the reason why I say I'm torn is because the business side of me says you should build on a blockchain where it won't cost people a lot of money, right? So what sucks about Ethereum, right, especially if you have a hot project that everybody's going for, is you have to spend money to buy the project, right? So when I say that, they call it gas. So what happens is you need a person to authenticate the purchase you're making. So in order for this to work, there's a bunch of computers that keep a log. And in order to have a person do that, you have to pay them. Sometimes that fee could be like $50. Sometimes it could be $1,000. It all depends on how many people.
What time of day.
Exactly, how many people are using that network, right? So the reason why I'm torn is like, it makes sense to me to stay on a network where people are exchanging money. But unfortunately, the hottest network, people are spending $1,000 to get an art piece, and some of them might not get it, which is insane. You know what I mean? So what makes it hard for me is like, how can I bring my audience into this and they have a pleasurable experience? That's been the thing that's been slowing me down, where I haven't been like rushing into it, because for me, it's like, it's taken a while for me to like build my name for who I am. And I don't want to bring this person to this space and be like, yo, Anderson brought me in here. Now I spent $1,000. I didn't get any artwork. This is crazy. You know what I mean? So like I said, I'm torn. I don't know. What do you think?
It's tough. Nah, I totally agree on that aspect of it. It's just like this gas fee, Ethereum. What do you do? But that is the blockchain right now that you could say people are trading on. Like, I know you got Polygon where there's no gas, but like if you do the necessary research, yes, there is people trading on it, but not to the level of Ethereum. Same thing with Solana. It's not to the level of Ethereum. Like, it's like at the same time with Ethereum is legitimizing the seriousness of the project, but it's the one that has the gas.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Is that like perfect example? My cousin spent, what was he getting? I think it was like the Shiba coin or whatever.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
they dropped the NFT and he ended up spending like $500 in gas fees and almost didn't get it. You know, that's like, I get that and I understand that, but I just know for a fact a person coming in cold and be like, what are you talking about? I'm spending how much? These are the same people don't want to spend tax on clothes. So it's like, I get their frustration, you know? So
I've seen like people try to game it, like really just try to navigate their audience to buy it when the gas is low. So that's one thing that you could think of, like over the weekend, gas is the lowest. True. Yeah, Saturday evening is when the gas is
the lowest. Right. And
it's like less than $100.
Which, like I said, I almost said, that's not bad. That's crazy that I'm saying that. It's not bad, but you know.
It's not.
In the world of crypto, you know, it's unfortunately, it's not too bad.
Like right now, gas is like almost $200.
That's so crazy. And like, and that's the other thing, just posting your artwork, you have to, depending on what you use, you have to spend money to post it, you know? And that's like another hurdle. Like I said, I know.
But you know, it's different with each platform.
That's true.
Yeah. So I think Foundation, it's each time you post, you got to
pay. Yeah. Foundation. Yeah. It's
just, I think so, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, so you tell me, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm on Foundation. So you have to pay for the minting and then the posting. So I was like $300 in the hole just to post the artwork, you know? So that's not a sustainable thing. Oh. I like how OpenSea where, you know.
Yeah, so one time.
Exactly. You pay it one time and then after that, does the customer pay for it after that or is it just?
Yeah, after that, as long as you list it.
Right.
Now, if you accept an offer, you pay the gas.
Okay.
So if you don't list it, you know, sometimes you could list it, you could put it up, but you haven't listed it yet for sale. So if you don't list it for sale and someone sees it before you've even put it to the public for sale and you accept the offer, you pay the gas. But as long as you list it for sale, the customer pays the gas.
That's not too bad, you know? Not too bad at all. I tell you what I'm excited about. I'm excited to see what Coinbase does. I think in my head, and I'm hoping if they make it simple enough, I think it will be the Shopify moment for NFTs. Because the biggest hurdle.
Yeah, I'm excited about that too.
And I'm excited that they said the end of 2021. We're in October. So it has to be, you know, we're not going to wait long.
Around the corner, bro. It's around the corner.
So with them, what I'm hoping is that it makes it easier to buy the NFT, right? Because the biggest hurdle with OpenSea is you make your account fine, but it's like, all right, then get your wallet on there. All right, then get the money in the wallet, right? Then I feel like it's just a lot of friction, you know? It's not enough friction for me not to do it, but from the buyer standpoint and you're new, I could see out two steps ago. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because I feel like right now, if you are trying to sell NFTs, the only people that understand and are ready to buy are the people that already have a wallet. Like, I've known a couple of people. They're like, Daryl, I want to get your teddy when it comes out. I was like, all right, so you know what MetaMask is? You got to get a MetaMask.
Right. You know what one person said to me? And I didn't really look into too much of the details, but I think it made sense. They were saying how what they would do is they would set up the wallet for the person and put the NFT in the wallet and then give them the information.
Mm-hmm. Facts. Yeah, you could do that too.
I think that's a good option. I don't know how the money changes hands in that process, but I see.
Yeah, you'd have to figure out.
Yeah, but I see that part. You know, that makes sense.
So my question is, have you seen Tom Brady's NFT project?
No,
Autograph. He partnered with, I think it's DraftKings. Mm-hmm. And there's somebody else, but I'm trying to figure out how are they're not selling it on a blockchain. It's USD. You're paying with cash, mm-hmm. like a credit card. That's what I need to figure out. You know what I mean? Because if you check out Autograph, it's Tom Brady's project.
Right.
He's selling NFTs. He got like Usain Bolt on there. That's what got my attention. Mm-hmm. He has Wayne Gretzky. Mm. He just had Gronk. So it's a bunch of celebrity art athlete, but it's not on a blockchain. So you're not buying it with Ethereum.
So is the artwork on the blockchain though?
It's digital. If it's on a blockchain, I don't know what blockchain, because it's like you're buying it with cash.
Right.
Like there's no like get ETH. There's no Solana. There's
So
that's the part, like that's interesting to me.
So I know with, have you heard of Nifty Gateway or Nifty?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know with them, they take, you can either pay with whatever coin or cash, right? And gotcha. Everything is still minted or whatever. So what I think is happening is he just opened up the option to take cash, but I would assume the artwork is still on the blockchain or whatever, and that he just sent it to you.
Right.
But I see what you're saying, because the person pays cash, they don't have a wallet to receive it, right?
Right. I get that. They don't have to worry about it. Now you get an account. Once you sign up, everything will be in your account.
Gotcha. So yeah. So maybe it's like a Coinbase where once you do get a wallet, you could like take it off.
Right. I was listening to a space and this guy, he was like, they're kind of like anti-NFTs. So I was listening to it, but he was like, I'm still fascinated, because he was like, listen, if you look at like some of the big sales, NFT sales, right? He's not anti-NFT, he's anti like these other coins. Mm-hmm. So like Beeple,
yep.
His 60, almost 70 million project, mm-hmm. like I don't see anywhere where that was sold on a blockchain. I know it was sold by that gallery. Is it Christie?
Okay. Oh, Sotheby's maybe?
Say again?
Sotheby's, I think, is another one that does it. Christie's or Sotheby's, same thing. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So I'm trying to figure out, like, how did they do that? Because, like, it's not showing that specific artwork. Now, he has tons of artwork on a blockchain. Mm. But, like, that specific one, that one that made the record, mm-hmm. It's not connected to a blockchain.
Mm.
By my understanding, by the research I've done. Right. So I'm not sure.
I'm not sure. I would imagine that, like, you could probably sell it directly to the person, right? But obviously, the artwork has to be minted, right? Because this has to be on, right. Like, so I would.
It has to be some kind of digital imprint, exactly. That you could track, exactly. The transactions.
Exactly. So once you mint it, you could send it to whoever or whatever. So I could see that. I think, and here's another thing to keep in mind, that OpenSea, you know, foundation, all these other places, just makes it easier for you to get your artwork on the blockchain and show it to a marketplace, mm-hmm. or whatever. I think what some people are trying to figure out is how they could take the middleman out, which is OpenSea, and just do it on their own, mm-hmm. you know? And
yeah, I ain't no developer.
Yeah, no, I'm not either
for that bad boy.
Oh, not at all. But I think, because I was looking at Gary V's V Friends or whatever, right? And when he sold it on his own website, and then I think he sends the designs to the people after. See, that's one part mm-hmm. where I get a little fuzzy on how it works, but that's pretty sure how it works. Like, people, like, you go, you buy it from the website, you buy it at retail or whatever. It's already, the data is already on the blockchain, and then you just send it to people mm-hmm. after they buy it. So I think that's probably what's happening, I would assume.
Yeah, so, like, that's something like that I want to dive a little bit deep in, because, like, I don't know, man, if I could figure out how to get past these gas prices, man. Like, that's the thing that's why my project is not even launched yet, because for the most part, I'm ready.
Right. And I think no matter what you do, like, the gas fees are going to be there unless you go to, like, a different chain. Because yeah. even if it's on your website, God forbid if, I don't even know, if another person drop in a hot item or whatever, it is what it is. It's going to be high. It's like,
yeah,
there's it's no over, running it's from over. It, you know?
Right.
But at this point, I just feel like I wouldn't let gas fees stop anybody trying to do it, yeah. only because it's just socially acceptable. I just think it's trying to figure out where you want to do it. And I think OpenSea makes mm-hmm.
sense. And where it's worth it.
Yeah, because every time I talk to somebody, they tell me the one that does the most sales is OpenSea, right? So
yeah, oh, hands down. Yeah. It's not even close.
Right.
Actually.
Because at first I was like, okay, I'm on Foundation. It should make a difference. There's no difference, you know? I just think it's you got to really, really be in it. You know what I mean? Like, be on those Twitter spaces, talking to people and stuff like that, connecting. And that would at least start to get the ball rolling. The one thing I don't like with this whole NFT thing is just that I'm seeing a lot of, like, a repeating pattern. When I say that, meaning that I see a lot of gatekeepers all of a sudden. Like, this is supposed to be the thing to take away gatekeepers.
Right.
Way more people than before, you know? Like, if you want to get onto the platform, you have to send in a resume and everything like that. And, you know, I don't mind doing some work, but when it comes to art, art's subjective. So you'll say no, like, you might say no to my artwork, but that's only because it might not be your taste. You know what I mean?
Right. I think the Solana platform does that. I think you got to sign up or something like that.
Right. There was one, I forget, it was, like, super rare. They wanted to know, like, what college you went to. You know?
Yeah, bro.
Video on your hopes and your dreams, your aspirations.
Like, I just kept it moving. Yeah. I'm sorry. I just kept it moving.
You know what I mean? It's just, I don't know. I feel like if you're doing all of that, you can't, I find it hard to believe that you're for, like you're fighting for the artist. You know what I mean? I just feel like just more to, you want to have a hot brand. You want to see you have the best people in there. And that's really it.
Yeah, man. How do you feel? I feel like the NFTs saved Twitter.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I'll tell you one thing. I'm never on Twitter, ever. You know, I'm a terrible writer. It's like, it's...
Bro, I'm on Twitter every day now.
Yes. Like, I've slowed down now because I've been doing some projects and stuff. But, like, I'm talking about heavy on Twitter, just jumping into spaces, talking to people, just trying to figure out what's going on.
It's crazy.
And did you hear about they're trying to do a new thing where they could verify the NFTs that you use?
Yeah. I think it's going to be a game changer. In your PHP.
It's going to be a game changer.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. I was thinking about it. I was just like, yo, I haven't used Twitter in, like, so long. And within, like, the last 3 months, like, my Twitter has just been, I've just been bullish on Twitter.
I was happy to see you there.
That's weird.
I was just like, yes, another person to NFTs. So you're one of the spaces.
It's like, if you want to, for anyone who's listening, if you want to learn about NFTs, it's Twitter. You have to go to Twitter. Like, nowhere else is going to. And then on top of it, because of spaces, you'll be able to talk to real people that's in the community.
Yep. And you kind of have to take everything with a grain of salt because you don't know who everybody is and you don't know who's there.
Bro.
You know what I mean? But there's definitely some good information. There's some good people in there, but it's like, you know, it's like navigating everything else.
It's true. That's the only thing that it's like, I feel like most of the people, not everybody, but there are not even most, but there are people that they're so like anti sharing who they actually are.
Really?
And it's just like, I don't know, man. It's just like people are, they're good with being behind this character.
Right.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean? And I'm like, if I see Anderson, I know who he is. I know what he looks like, but it's like, because I've tried to get like a few people that's in that space on the podcast. And the minute they hear, oh, nah, I'm not sure I want to do that. I don't really want to show my face. I'm just like, that just, right. Just like really kind of, right, you know right. What I mean?
Yeah,
just,
that's a red flag. I ain't gonna lie to you.
Yeah, so it's always like kind of tricky with that. But for the most part, like the community is genuine for the most part. And that's one of the things I really appreciate about the NFT community. It's pretty genuine. Like I've seen like people, like in different countries, third world countries, like a whole space is just goes out and just buys their entire collection. And that's crazy to me.
That is crazy. I think it's awesome. Anytime I hear a story about somebody making it work and they got into it and all of a sudden this is working for them, you know, kudos. You know, I just can't wait for this gets a little easier to get more users into it, you know?
Yeah. Because a lot of people still don't even know. Like, I tried to explain it to my wife. She was like, coo-coo-coo.
My wife,
she was like, I trust you. I'm good.
My wife checked out a while ago. She's just like, you know what? Just let me know if it works. That's it.
They'll follow the dollar signs. That's what they'll follow.
So, I guess my next question for you is, when you get everything together and you start doing this, if this project takes off, like, what's the game plan after that?
The game plan is building it out. Like, all the future things that I want to do, the events, the real life stuff. It's like, now it's like putting the money where my mouth is. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's like, so if you mean like work-wise, if I'm going to do it full-time, I don't think so.
Right.
Like, I've kind of like been content with like, you know, I've gotten some great work opportunities. And I don't think I really want to get rid of them. But, like, I'm going to go all in for sure. I'm going to go all in and try to, like, build a community. Like, ideally, I'm not sure if I'm going to get there, but ideally everybody wants to be a only one or a board apes in the sense of the community-wise. You know what I mean? Building a community around.
I was just going to ask you, is there any standout project that you really like so far?
Man, That's under the radar? Not really.
No, or even like, even if it's one that we know, most people are not going to know about it.
Like the Mecca, that thing was it was cool to kind of see the process.
The Gundam,
you know what I'm talking about, the Mechaverse. Yeah, the Mechaverse.
Is that the Gundam one or is that the anime one?
Yeah. I didn't hear what you said. Yeah, the Gundam.
Okay.
Yeah, it was kind of cool to see the process. Of how they went about it, but I also saw a lot of holes in it. Like, there was a lot of holes in it, and I feel like those holes caused their floor to drop big time. Because I think before it went live, it was more than 6 ETH, the floor. It was more than 6 ETH.
Wow.
I think right now it's less than 4, the floor.
Wow. So 4, what is that? So... So pretty much, so their lowest selling piece is $16,000. I just want to throw that out there, so we all understand.
Yeah. For those who don't understand, appreciate you, bro.
Yeah.
So, but I really like how they went about certain things, how they went about like building the lore about it and stuff like that. And I'm big into anime, so definitely I was like, This is freaking awesome.
You said there was holes in it. Like, what do you mean there was holes? Because I know they dropped it, but that's it. I haven't really been paying attention.
Like, they took forever
to
reveal.
Okay.
That's one. And because of that, like, people followed the hype.
Mm-hmm.
But once it reveals, like, there's only a... they're not as different. Like each one,
they look very similar.
Like, especially once you put it in a profile, you know what I mean? Like, it looks close enough. Mm-hmm. They have some that downright just look sick.
Right.
But the color palette, depending on how you're looking at it, they don't look like super, super different. And I think it's only four versions. Mm-hmm. So when I say the color palette, like if you see something red and you see something blue, like it's straight up different. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like they have a lot of them that's gray with a touch of different colors.
Right. So you said something about it took forever to reveal. When you say that, do you mean that when the person bought the NFT, they didn't see what they have until a certain, like a week, something like that?
Yeah, for a while. So I don't know how they did that. I don't know. They teamed up with OpenSea though, for sure, to do something on the back end. Mm-hmm. Because I know that once you list, so say, because I was thinking about doing something like that. So say if I put it on sale, but I haven't revealed it yet. Like if the contract is not set up outside of OpenSea, once you put it up, you can't change it again. So I don't know how they did that, but yeah, whoever purchased it, they didn't see it until like a later date.
Huh.
But the date kept on changing.
Got you.
Yeah.
You raise a good point, because even when the hundreds did it, and I know people were saying like they didn't know what they got until it was sent to their wallet. Yeah, I'm curious on how that happens. I'm curious on how that works.
Yeah. So like for me right now, I'm doing a whitelist. I'm doing a list.
Okay.
So I got people signed up for the project. And
do you have a Discord too? No.
I'm slowly building that.
I don't
have the time to kind of focus on it.
Gotcha.
But I've created an account. Right. I just don't have the time to focus on it to give the necessary time that's needed. So after the fact, I'm going to push it bully. But I really just don't have the time to really focus and do both at the same time.
So a whitelist is almost like, is that like emails or cell phone numbers? Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, gotcha. Yeah. So it's basically their wallets. So emails and their wallets. So once I go live, OpenSea lets you sell it directly to a wallet. They give you that option.
Really?
So that you could send that. So say whoever signs up on this wallet now, it's for them to follow through for sure. But you basically just send them through the wallet, that their wallet address, uh-huh, and they pay for it.
So now I have two questions. So when you collected their wallets and their names, Did you have like a special sign up that they did, or did you like physically just take it down?
Nah, I got it on my website. I just kind of reformatted some of the forms.
Really? And then people know to copy and paste their wallet into the form?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah. Get the hell out of here. Cool. See, I didn't even know that was a thing. Yeah. That's dope. That's good to know.
Bro, that was just me trying to figure out a way to kind of do a pre-launch before the actual launch.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, because I like the whole reveal idea. Mm. And these are people like, of course, my sell was that I'd make it at a lower price because you don't know what you're buying versus the next person that once they see it, it's going to be a little more because they see what they're buying.
Right.
So it's like rewarding someone for basically start coming in early.
Right. So once you have their name in their wallet, and I know you could send the NFT, but can you send like a notification saying like $100 for this NFT or whatever? Like, does it work that way?
So they already know what it's going to cost. It's just for them to navigate the gas price part. So what I'm going to do is like, for those who signed up, I'm going to send out like an email, mm-hmm, saying that I'm about to launch. I mean, they already know, like, because the minute they signed up, an email followed, just usual email marketing, like an email following, telling them what's coming next, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. So they already kind of know what to expect, what's coming next, which is me sending them, letting them know that it's going live and I'm about to connect your wallet to the NFT.
So you actually bring up a good point. So this is another thing that I was like battling with, right? Is I wasn't sure if I should start putting out artwork as NFTs just to get your feet wet, or to do what you're doing, which to me is the ideal approach of taking a step back, collecting emails, collecting names, creating a project, and then doing the reveal once you have mm-hmm. know, a little bit of a following going on. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. for the new person coming in, like, what do you think? Like, how do you think they should approach it?
Well, it depends. Now, part of the reason why I'm always coming from a business aspect. I need proof of market. Yep. You know what I mean? I need proof that, like, people are actually interested or even just interested in me, what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. So, and for each person, that number is different. Somebody may say, if I get 20 people to sign up, that's enough people. Mm-hmm. Somebody may say 100 people, that's enough people. Mm-hmm. Somebody say, I need 1,000 too. You know what I mean? So that's another thing. The hard part about that is the marketing. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to go super bullish on marketing. Mm-hmm. And ideally, like, if you don't have a large following, and even then with NFTs, it's such a small amount of people that it's still pretty niche. Mm-hmm. Like, you really got to market heavily to the NFT community. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not really marketing. Like, I don't really market to the people outside that knows about just DP Creates. Yep. I'm marketing heavily to the NFT because the barrier for them to come in is
very, very easier. High. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, it's so much easier. But yeah, I feel like for me, that works better because I like the whole idea of revealing something, and that's because that project is community driven. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to do a project like you where it's just straight art focus. Mm-hmm. That I'm just going to put out.
Yep.
Like, I'm not going to, like, do anything too crazy, reveal or anything. I'm just going to put the art out and let the art speak for itself. You know what I mean? So I guess it all depends on what you're trying to do,
right.
what you're trying to navigate.
Right.
You know what I mean? If that makes sense.
Yeah, I think you raise a good point. It doesn't hurt to do both, to get your feet wet and mm-hmm. take a step back and come up with a game plan. What do you think about some of these projects that give their buyers a percentage of, I guess, the NFT? I would assume it's the NFT they bought. Or if they're in the community, they constantly keep getting a percentage. You might know a bit more than me, but how do you feel about that?
So it all depends. Like, it all depends. So, like, for me, if I get more than 50% sold, I'm going to do something like that. Mm-hmm. But it's not going to be percentage of the NFT. Mm-hmm. The goal is to, the best way for me, I think, is to, through the NFT, build a profitable business. Mm-hmm. And then the profits of that business, they get a percentage of that. So just for easily understand, mm-hmm. you build an NFT. So say if Bored Apes decides to go straight, open a clothing yep. brand, right? They sell products, but it's not like super, super, but they want to build a Bored Ape clothing brand. Mm-hmm. How they could do that is profits of that clothing brand goes to each NFT holder. Mm-hmm. So that's a way to do it. That's the way that makes sense to me
right.
from business wise, because like, because you're getting such a small percentage once your NFT resells, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Just in general. It's not everybody's going to have an NFT that's selling for like $1 million, $6 million,
right,
blah, blah, blah. Right. So to then give profits of that, you know what I mean? It's kind of hard. So I feel like building a business or a product that came from the NFT. And then once each time that product sells or that venture sells, given the holders a percentage of that those are the ones that make sense to me. You know what I mean? So say Anderson Blue comes out with a collection and you want to create products from that collection. Even with like the Mechaverse, they're going to at some point build like life-size real models of each one of those mechas.
I like that a lot.
So if they sell that now, they could now give a percentage of the holder that holds that mecha, give them a percentage of each one that sells. Mm-hmm. So it depends on, so now it would depend on which mecha you hold or which NFT you hold. You give them a percentage of that specific one. So that's another way to look at it.
Right.
If that makes sense.
No, that makes total sense. Like, as you're speaking in my head, I'm saying to myself, like, I don't know how you have a career outside of doing this as an artist. It is so, there's so many layers to it. You know, it's like, I remember the good old days when it was just like, I'm just creating the artwork. Now you got to create it. You got to market it. You got to figure out a utility to get people to buy in.
Bro, facts.
You know, it's a lot of good. And there's a lot of pros and a lot of cons. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, it's true. But I feel like for anyone who's thinking about it, like the easiest way, and it doesn't matter how you come in. Not everyone has to come in as a creator. Right. I know dudes, they don't create NFTs. They go and they just buy.
Right.
Yeah, they just invest in other NFTs. But however you come into it, you got to look at it from, I know you mentioned it earlier, from a stock and an investing mindset. Like, even I feel like in some sense, it's the art version or a version of like funding a project. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? If you think about like Kickstarter or something like that, like an NFT could be used as that.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
A way to fund a future or something that you want to bring to life.
Yep. And I see a lot of opportunity in doing that. I do. And another thing that I was thinking, and I might be a little too early, you could tell me, is I feel like if you're an artist and you really, truly figure out how to do this, you make a name for yourself, 2, 3, 4 years down the line, I think you're going to reap the benefits because brands are going to get into it. And if you're doing it and they see like, oh, this person's crushing it, they're going to call on you to do it. And I think that will be the aha moment for a lot of artists saying like, oh my God, I get to work with, I don't know, Gucci this or whatever.
Brand or that brand.
And that will be the change your life moment. I think that's the more realistic change your life moment. Because brands are definitely going to get into it. You know, that's what they do to make money, you know? So it's just trying to figure out where you fit into it.
Dude, there's so much. It's so much layers. But I mean, yes. And I would let everyone know. There's tons of like annoying people that's trying to scam. You know what I mean? But like, be patient and just keep diving in deeper. The deeper you dive, you run into the more legitimate people that's trying to do something with this.
So I have another question because I heard about this on the Twitter spaces. So have you heard about people like giving away their stuff for free? Like giving away the NFTs for free?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So apparently, I don't remember the brand, but what they did was they created a bunch of NFTs for the people that had like Bored Ape NFTs, right? Mm-hmm. What it did was they said like, hey, if you have this NFT, we'll send you this book bag design of that NFT as a book bag or whatever, right? So people got into it. They found out. They ended up giving away a whole bunch of NFTs based on other artwork that they already had. So to me, as a business person, I'm just like, bro, you put in a whole bunch of work. You gave it away for free. Like, yeah, it's marketing, but was it worth it? The person pointed out, just remember that when they resell it on the market, that's when they'll make that money back. And that's when I said, okay, all the rules are out the window. All of it.
Bro, that is how crypto got started.
Really?
Crypto punks.
So people, so they just gave them out?
Yes. If I'm not mistaken, I think it was crypto punks. They gave them out for free. And it's a secondary, it's never like, for all the creators, those who are thinking about creating NFTs, it's not your first sale that you're paying attention to. It's when it gets to the secondary market and they resell it. That's where the true money-making opportunity is. So you can legit, it definitely relieves the stress about you trying to figure out how much am I going to sell it for. If you got the chops, you can legit give away your NFTs for free and build a legit big time brand to where now that NFT is valuable and it's reselling on the market for a lot. All those big time ones, all those older ones, if they weren't free, they were like dirt cheap, bro. Mm-hmm. They were dirt cheap and people just bought them and they just grew in value on the secondary market.
Right. I was going to ask you how you feel about it, but it sounds like you sound pretty bullish on doing that. I think it makes sense.
It's all testing. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're an artist and you could create quality art,
yep,
and you give it away for free and you are willing to like focus on building a brand and the long game, you can win on it, because at the end of the day, you are getting royalties every time it sells for the rest of your life.
That is true.
And no, after your life, if you contract it and you put it in your will, like if you really want to think long game now, mm-hmm, you put it in your will and you pass it down to family members. Like these people are collecting these checks on and on and on. So this Anderson Blue, your project is out there for 10 years, 20 years. Mm-hmm. Somebody decides to resell that thing and it sells. You're getting that. God forbid you're not around. Whoever is in charge of that is getting that. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that's just how I look at it. I don't look at it very short game. Is like the whatever wins I get in the short game, it's just icing on the cake. I'm looking for long term. And that's how you got to look at it.
Right,
it's kind of like stocks. That's where the stocks part and investing part comes into play.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think it makes a lot of sense. I like the, it's a new way of doing Patreon. You know, I like that a lot. I like how
you
help fund projects and stuff like that. It's just figuring out how to connect all the dots. You know what I mean? Like figure out where your artwork fits into that and then getting people that are into that, that also follow that. And that was the other thing when I first came in, because I'm very self-aware. I know exactly what market I applied to. I applied to the streetwear market, basketball, sneakers, mm-hmm, stuff like that. I personally felt that that market is not there yet. Bored Apes.
It's coming, kinda, bro. Sorta, I feel like
Bored Apes is like, it's like,
it's streetwear. I think it taps into a bit of the streetwear, though.
It does, but I would say it's like a person who's already into crypto that kind of, mm-hmm, was into streetwear.
That's the thing.
You know, when I saw the hundreds, when I saw the hundreds do, I was like, okay, it's slowly happening. You know what I mean? So me personally, I feel like I'm just way too early, which I'm okay with because I can figure things out. But that's the the reason why I say all this is just because if you're an artist, you create artwork for a certain community. It's like, when does that community get on there, right? Like, do you change your artwork to can adapt and sell to the people that are already buying crypto, because that artwork and what they're into is totally different than what I see and what, mm-hmm, the people that I know, mm-hmm, what they create. Or do you stick to your guns and, you know, try to educate people in what you do? That's like the thing I'm trying to
figure out. That's a great question. I would love to know how much people got into NFTs. Like when the hundreds put theirs out there, I want to know how much of them were already into crypto and how much of them got converted because they wanted to get a hundreds. That was originally from the community. That's the part that I would love to know.
Right.
Because then that would show how much of their community actually just straight up switched in or got into NFTs because it was the hundreds doing it. Because then that if people are going to come in because they want to support Anderson Blue, mm-hmm, you know what I mean? So then that, I think that I would love to know, but I don't know.
Right. No, I think that's a good question. Because I honestly don't know. I think I heard some stories of, you know, some big accounts buying up a bunch of them, which is never a good thing. But there's not a lot of that. It's not a lot of other people like the hundreds. Like I know Hypebeast was talking about them, like they want to get into the space and figure it out. But, you know, anytime anything's new, it takes a long time for people to adapt into it, you know? Like, mm-hmm, I was just laughing. I was just talking to my friend about this, but even with social media is a perfect example, right? Like, it's crazy to say this, but there are people on social media that have more attention than some of the biggest movie stars in the world, bigger than some of like CNN and stuff that's been around way longer, right? But the person, some people don't see it as like a talent, or they don't see them as like the new superstar. You know what I mean? Because to them, it's, mm-hmm, just like, oh, well, I could post. Why is this person famous? I post too. They post. I don't see the difference. Me and you see the difference. We understand the execution, what they're trying to do. Mm-hmm. But the reason why I bring up that point is social media has been around for so long. Facebook is like 10 years old. and people still haven't changed their mindset yet. You know what I mean? So I can only imagine how long it's going to take for a person to change their mind when it comes to crypto and NFTs. That's the thing that,
it's true, bro.
That I'm trying to figure out.
One thing, though, I feel like will change people's mind quicker in regards to this is money. People see or they hear about the amount of money that's being made through this.
Yep.
Like, you can't really, I know people making money through YouTube. I know people are making money through Facebook, but people don't understand that really. And you don't really hear about it that much outside of like Pat Flynn and those people. They don't really talk about how much money they make, but the NFTs, you could go look up what each project is making. It's public knowledge.
Right. That's true.
So you can't, like, that will draw people in itself. It's just like, yo, I see how much money Daryl made on that. There's something there. You know what I mean?
No, you're right. Because that's what, I'm pretty sure that's what got people into the space in the first place. Right?
Facts.
Like the whole Beeple story, I'm sure that how many artists, 70 million. Exactly. How many artists signed up once they heard that news? Like, wait a second, you made how much million? What?
Even though, like, that part of that is just like straight up because, like, that's for Beeple, people can't expect to be Beeple. I feel like that dude just straight up made money because he gave away so much for so long, bro.
Yeah, I also think there's a little bit of luck in there. I want to say luck, meaning because you know, NFTs are hot, and the person that bought it is a person that's heavily bought into NFTs, and it's almost like marketing, right? So they're like,
yeah,
you know, I want to look cool and show people I'm about this, so I'm going to spend money. And people, you know, he got the rewards. He got $60 million or whatever, right? Which is amazing. And
there's value in his art. There's value in his art.
Exactly. And I say he's not good. I'm just saying that, like, you know, there's a little bit of everything that went into that. And I think that happens.
True that.
I think that it's been happening for a lot of different artists. You know what I mean? But, like, the regular artist is trying to figure it out. I know there's room for it. It's just, it's going to be a lot of figuring it out. That's all.
Yeah, you just got to be willing to test it multiple times. Or, like, you may have a project that don't work, and you may have another project that do. And you really can't quantify why. You just got to keep testing, keep trying to figure out what's the clues. You may not be able to figure it out right away.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, for any artist, the deeper you get in spaces, I think if you're not, like, world-renowned, like, the deeper you get in spaces, the better off you'll be.
Yeah, I agree. Because everything I'm talking about now, it's what I learned on Spaces and other people that have been doing it longer. And this thing is so new. When I say long, people would say, hey, I've been doing this for a minute. Like, how long? Like, 9 months. Okay, I guess. You know, they're like literally, that's how new this thing is. And for anybody trying to figure out, like, is it too late? No, it's not even close. I think
you're not even close. Not even close.
You're literally, if this was baseball, you're literally in the first inning. Has it even, people haven't even showed up, you know?
Yeah, bro, the first pitch just went out, bro.
Exactly. Exactly. So I think there's plenty of room for people to come in and try to figure it out. The only thing that, you know, it sucks to see is like the people who are not artists and they're trying to get into the space. And I know you've seen it. I've seen a lot of $5 designs, you know what I mean? That people have paid, which is, it is what it is. But the good news is because, you know, there's not a lot of good art that if you're good, you're going to stand out. The rest is just marketing.
Facts. Marketing. This is where marketing really comes into play. Yeah, for sure.
And I guess for me, the one thing that most artists struggle with is marketing. So it's kind of like,
yeah,
how do you?
You really got to pay attention to marketing,
though. Right? Because with Instagram, you can kind of get away with it, right? You could keep posting your art, hoping the algorithm helps you get more followers, and you keep being consistent or whatever. There's no algorithm to this. This is not to bang on people's doors and be like, hey, man, I got an NFT. You want to check it out? You know, it's a whole lot of that. It's a whole lot of come to my Discord.
Come up with strategic talking points on how you want to bring up your NFT, bro.
That's the thing. And that's the thing. It's trying to do marketing, but do it with a product that's never existed before. Never existed. Like somebody said, hey, I'm serious. Somebody was like, hey, I'm trying to sell water. You're like, all right, we put some TV commercials. We put some stores. Facts.
You got it.
You have an idea. This is like, I want to sell NFTs. Like,
first of all, you got to get them past what the heck an NFT is.
Exactly. Like the first thing somebody says is like, oh, I can take a screenshot of it. And I was telling you early before we went on, when I did the show in California, I had one woman come up to me with a whole lot of energy. She's just like, wow, your art is good. I'm just like, oh, wow, thank you. She's just like, you know what you should do? I'm like, what? She's like, you should create some NFTs. I'm like, oh, yeah, I've heard of that. I got one or two or whatever. The woman didn't take any of my contact information. She didn't take my email, my phone number, none of that. But she told me, she's just like, you could change your life with NFTs. And I asked, I'm like, hey, are you going to be one of those people who's going to help me to change my life? She's like, nah. Good luck, sir.
Basically.
Good luck. So NFTs right now is literally the, you should create a t-shirt of that. I'll buy it with my invisible money.
Yep. I'll buy that.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll buy that. When you put it out,
Ghost. Yep.
Bro, this has been amazing, man. Absolutely. It's always good chopping it up with you, man. We got to do something like this again after a few months, see where we're at in this NFT
realm. We got to hold our feet to the fire and just be like, all right, we should at least have some type of NFTs out, some NFT projects by the next time we talk.
Yeah, bro. Bro, yeah, man, for sure. You got my wheels turning just chopping it up with you. I haven't really been able to really chop it up with somebody like this that I know.
Yep.
With NFTs. So it was kind of good to talk this through with you. Where can people go to find you and learn more about you?
Yeah. So you can find me bluedreams.com. It's BLUUdreams.com. So I post all my artwork. Social media wise, this is Anderson Blue. Instagram, Twitter is Anderson_Blue. Blue is spelled the same way. TikTok is different because I got locked out my other account. I had to make another one. It's Anderson Blue, one straight word. You can come check my stuff out. I'm hopefully next time I come on here, I would hit 1 million on TikTok. That's right now my current goal, is to hit that big 1 million. I haven't hit
this any on
social media, so focusing on this one.
That's amazing, bro. That's a feat in itself. Yeah. Verified the whole nine on TikTok. This guy's been killing it. Much respect to you, man. That's awesome, bro. That's awesome. Dude, thanks again for coming on the show, man. I really appreciate it. We'll definitely keep in touch behind the scenes for sure.
Absolutely, man. Appreciate you.
All right, man. See ya.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode. Feel free to leave a review on Apple Podcasts because it really helps out the podcast. Remember to check out my latest project, flydeddy.com. Until next time, be blessed.